If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's one of the most talked about true crime cases right now. Melissa Casillas. 53-year-old Melissa Casillas disappeared from Taos, New Mexico under very mysterious circumstances on June 26, 2025. The case seemed to generate no promising leads, and it quickly went cold. Melissa's remains were very recently found in a remote, heavily wooded area on May 28, 2026. Melissa's case has gotten a lot of attention, but arguably for all the wrong reasons. There has been an unbelievable amount of speculation, misinformation, and just straight-up conspiracies and lies about Melissa. These have even come from major news sources. It seems before we can know what happened to Melissa on June 26th, 2025, people will have to start getting loud with the right information. So today, I'm hoping to get this all straightened out for my listeners. I'm bringing on Gina and Amber from Weird True Crime. They've been working with Melissa's family and combing through the police reports from the very beginning. Verifiable information only. I'm going to talk through all of the rumors, point by point, including the missing scientist conspiracy, to get clarification for you guys. And I guarantee you, you are going to hear a lot of information today that you have not heard anywhere else. Today's perplexing episode is all about Melissa Casillas. Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Kadra. If you're new to the show, hello and welcome. I tell tales every single week that have perplexed me. So if you love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more, don't worry, you're in the right place. And if you end up enjoying today's special interview episode with Weird True Crime, I would love if you continue to follow along. If you are a returning listener, hello, my friends, and welcome back. I'm happy you're here today. Today, we are doing another interview episode. This one has been a long time coming. There's just been so much misinformation around the disappearance of Melissa Casillas. For people who are not familiar with her disappearance, don't worry, we are going to talk about it a lot today and the updates that we have. It's just been really frustrating, the amount of misinformation, the crazy conspiracy theories that have been going on for so long with Melissa, and I cannot imagine how her loved ones are feeling. And Gina and Amber from Weird True Crime have been working closely with Melissa's loved ones. They've been working so hard to get the right information finally out there. So I wanted to bring them on so that you guys could learn all about Melissa. So please welcome Gina and Amber.
Hey, Kadra. I'm so glad we're finally doing this. We've been talking about it forever, and this is the perfect time to come on because, like you said, there's been so much misinformation about Melissa's case, and you send me links daily. Like, look at this insane stuff they're saying. now. So
yeah,
it's just gotten so out of proportion. It's crazy.
It's constant. I feel like I get things every day. And a lot of it is stuff that my listeners are sending me. And when I first heard about Melissa's case, I actually heard about it from a friend who lives in New Mexico. And she also was like, have you heard about all these scientists that are going missing? And this is so crazy. And when you look on the surface with the sources that are available, it's like, oh my God, this is such a crazy story. I want to learn more about this. But there's so much more to it. And it seems like nobody's really talking about it.
No. And I mean, I think when you're talking about a government agency or agencies like Los Alamos or, you know, the other ones that work in secretive stuff none of us know anything about, there's so many people that work for those agencies. It's very easy to say, oh, well, these 11 people all work some way or another in these places, so it must be tied together, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but you could say that about any large corporation.
Right.
This kind of stuff happens. It doesn't mean there's some conspiracy around it.
Exactly. Correlation, causation. And it's just one of those things where it's very harmful, in my opinion, to Melissa's legacy, to the investigation. There's just so many things constantly coming out. And I just was like, okay, we need to do this. But we were going to record a couple of weeks ago. And at that point, Melissa's remains had not been found. And it just so happened we had to reschedule. And now there's even more things that they're still trying to piece together. And it's just insane. So yeah, I just want to dive right in and let you guys tell the story, because I know there's going to be people listening to this who know nothing about Melissa, don't know anything about the case. So I figured we could start there, just with the disappearance, talking about Melissa, of course, and go from there.
Yeah, this is definitely Gina's wheelhouse. So
interject as needed if you think of anything that I forget that's pertinent, because there's a lot of information.
There is, but this is your Roman Empire. So like, I am here too. You may not hear from me because Gina's got this, but
you're here in support.
I'm here for moral support.
Well, and you guys went into a ton of detail on your show as well. So Amber and Gina right now have 3 episodes out, I believe, like full episodes about Melissa Casillas. So you guys can go listen to those on their show, Weird True Crime. But I definitely want to give my listeners an overlay of everything.
Yeah, absolutely. So Melissa Casillas was 53 years old when she went missing from Taos, New Mexico on June 26, 2025. She got up that morning, got ready for work. Her husband says that they drove to work together to Los Alamos, but it's kind of unclear whether or not that actually happened, because according to security cameras and police reports, she was never seen going into Los Alamos that morning. Her car was seen at the security check-in, but she was never seen actually going through the gate, and her car turned around and left. And then there's another statement in the police report that says her car was actually never there at all that morning. So that's a little bit unclear. From what we've heard, it sounds like maybe something did happen that morning, like she and her husband had gotten into an argument on the way to work. They got to work. She decided, you know what, forget it. I'm too upset for this today. Turned around and went home. What we do know for sure is that she took her daughter Sierra lunch at her place of work in the John Dunn shops at 12:56 p.m. She's seen on security footage pulling into a handicap spot very quickly, like hitting the bumper, like the parking bumper, pretty hard. Like she kind of goes over a little bit. Like you can tell she seems rushed. She walks super, super fast. She's there for less than a minute. So she goes in, gives her daughter Sierra a sandwich. Her daughter gives Melissa her paycheck to turn into the bank. Melissa leaves. By 1:38 p.m., so not even an hour later, her iPhone was completely reset and disconnected from iCloud. So her iCloud was wiped as well. So there's no iCloud information to look at. And according to the initial reports, she was seen walking on Highway 518 going eastbound at 2:18 p.m. And that was the last time she was ever seen. Now that we have the information that we have, there is speculation about whether that really was Melissa on 518 at that time of day. Because, well, for one, the timing doesn't make sense. It's like a 40-minute time period between when her phone was reset, which they were saying she reset her phone, between when she reset her phone and when she was seen on camera. But it takes longer than that to walk from their house to that location.
Okay.
So it's just not physically possible
that
that happened. And the reason why we don't think it was Melissa is because the night of the 26th, after she went missing, once her husband returned home and her sister and parents and niece and other family members showed up to kind of offer support and see what was happening, and the cops were there, her niece Jasmine got a call from a man named Lloyd Duran, who said that he saw Melissa on 518 around 2:20 p.m. that day. So Jasmine rushes over to Mark, her husband, and the cops to tell them, we have a witness saying that they saw Melissa today around 2:20 at 518. And Mark immediately said, there's no way that's her. She wouldn't be wearing those clothes. She wouldn't be walking in that spot at that time. Or I think she may have been stumbling or seemed kind of out of sorts. And Mark was just like, there's no way it's her, and completely dismissed it. And because he dismissed this tip in front of the cops, they dismissed it as well and never looked into it.
Which is insane to me. There's so many things about this case that are just frustrating and insane. But the idea that, number one, that Mark would just immediately shut it down and not want to see it through. And then number two, that the cops were like, well, that's good enough reason. It's very disheartening.
It is. And as you know, that's not the only time that happens.
No.
In this case, which is just bizarre. So it's the night of, you have Mark dismissing a huge tip that could completely alter what happens in this missing person case if they had actually taken it seriously. And then he also says some other questionable things that evening that make her family, who came to support Mark and help him in any way possible, stop and go, this is raising some red flags. And I feel like we need to start looking at this in a different way. Because when your loved one goes missing and you show up to help, and the first thing that their significant other does is call them an idiot, call them stupid, say they were effing up left and right at work and was about to get fired and were causing all these issues, that doesn't sound like someone who's concerned because their spouse is missing.
Mark had also got irritated because Jasmine, they started to make a missing persons flyer, and he got irritated at them that they had posted the flyer at all.
And again, I feel like these are things that are not being touched on with the information that's out there right now. And I don't understand why. Podcasts as well. They're just going into the conspiracy of all of it. And no one seems to be talking about Mark, which I feel like statistically in missing persons cases, specifically with women, you very often look at the people closest to them, look at the husband first. And I don't know. I feel like no one's doing that. And I don't understand that.
It's hard to understand why he wasn't taken more seriously as a suspect to begin with. I think it's Taos's small community. They all grow up together. He has a lot of familiar relationships with law enforcement that we can't necessarily get into the depth of right now, because that's still being looked into. But it is very, very possible and likely that he had these buddy-buddy connections with police. And so they're like, well, if our guy Mark is saying that this is what happened, then this is what happened. Or, as we're starting to learn, they all have dirt on each other. There's all these things from their history that they can easily use against each other in these kinds of situations. So it's like, you either cover for me, or I'm going to let everybody know what you did however many years ago. And it's like that all over the place there, as we've figured out. Like, it's a very messy, tainted town. With a lot of questionable people in it. And they're all kind of tied together in one way or another. And Mark is a big part of that.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Can we go back for a minute with the phone getting wiped? Because I know so many people keep bringing that up in videos and comments. And for some reason, the phone being wiped makes them point to only two conclusions: that Melissa wiped her phone, or that her job wiped her phone. I feel like those are the two things that I keep seeing. What do you guys think about that?
And there's an important clarification that needs to be made there. She had two phones. She had a work phone and a personal phone. The media said there's two phones that were wiped. Well, both of those phones were personal phones. One of them was wiped at like 8 o'clock in the morning, which was the older iPhone. The newer phone, which is probably like her upgrade, like she was upgrading her phone. So you know how when you switch all of your information from one phone to another, like you usually wipe the old one.
Right. They make you do like a factory reset.
Right. Mm-hmm. So she still had the old phone that had been factory reset that morning around 8 a.m. Okay. And then her other personal phone was reset at 1:38 p.m. Her work phone was also in the house. It was not wiped. They can't be wiped. They actually have an app on them. What's it called? Jamf, J-A-M-F. That companies like this use when they hand out work phones to people. So they can't change anything. You have to have like a 6-digit code that only IT has access to. So her work phone was never touched.
Okay. Yeah, that's a very important clarification to make, I feel like, because people seem to be assuming that because her quote unquote work phone was wiped, which is not true, obviously, but it must be that it was her company who did it. And therefore, she's connected to all these missing scientists, blah, 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 blah. It's like people are jumping through these hoops. And this happens in so many cases. And it's just very frustrating. I even saw something today, actually, where it was like, well, Melissa had a thyroid condition and thyroid issues increase risk of depression. And so she was probably depressed and took her own life. And I'm like, how many hoops are you guys going to jump through to just make, I don't know. It's wild to me. I understand people wanting to connect dots and understand like logically why something could have happened when there's tragedy, but it's like people don't realize that these are real people, real lives, and they're actually doing so much harm.
And to clarify on the thyroid point, she did have thyroid cancer. So her thyroid was completely removed. So she had to take medication daily to get that hormone into her body. And so there was a lot of confusion around whether or not she took her medication with her that day when she quote unquote left, because it wasn't in the house. So according to her family, as in Mark and Sierra, she took this backpack with her that had her medication, a curling iron, and a toothbrush in it. And that's all she took. She didn't take any form of ID, any of her keys, any cell phone, no cash. They had a safe in the house full of cash. She didn't take any of it, but she took a curling iron, her medication, and a toothbrush. Like, do those sound like logical things that somebody would take if they were planning on leaving on their own to like start over?
Right. No. And I'm assuming there was also like no bank activity, nothing that would like indicate, oh, she had plans.
No, she actually tried to pay bills that morning. So there are a couple of transactions. They were denied. Like she didn't have enough money in the bank to pay the bills she was trying to pay. But once again, why would you try to pay bills the morning you were planning to leave?
Right.
Or go take your own life in the woods? It doesn't make sense.
If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. It's destroying athlete, creator, and YouTube maxer. YouTube Premium enhances how I use YouTube with awesome features like offline downloads, so I can download my favorite training videos before I hit the gym. So no Wi-Fi doesn't turn leg day into loading day. Plus, I get ad-free videos, background play, and so much more. YouTube Premium is like YouTube got some extra gains. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Haley Bailey. Okay, I need to tell you about something. I just got YouTube Premium. It's got tons of awesome features like offline downloads, so I can download my favorite videos before I travel and watch them whenever I don't have Wi-Fi. Because we all know airplane Wi-Fi is the worst. I get ad-free, I get background play, and there's like a ton more in there. You should try it. If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. So try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime. That's a mouthful.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And Another thing to note is this thyroid medication that wasn't in the house, she also never made any plans to have it sent to a different address because it was delivered. Her next like 90-day supply was delivered to the house on August 23rd, I think it was. So she had obviously made no attempt to adjust it or have it sent somewhere else or cancel it because it was still being delivered to the house.
So as far as Melissa goes, I always think it's good to like touch on her, of course, and then the family dynamic. Sierra, can you tell us about Melissa and her family?
Yeah, so this is another big point of contention. Amber smiling because, yeah, this we get pretty heated about this. So Melissa was a very, very, very doting mother. She did everything for her daughter. So Sierra was in a car accident, I think a couple years before she went missing. And she had pretty severe PTSD along with some other ongoing health issues because of it. So Melissa literally spent all of her time doing anything Sierra needed to help her get better. She would go to the store in the middle of the night to get her something to eat. She called her constantly. They had Life 360 so they could see where each other was at all time. And she wasn't allowed to take her personal phone into work with her because it's secured. But anytime she had like a break or a lunch break, she would leave the perimeter so she could text or call Sierra to check in on her throughout the day, every day. This was not a woman who didn't have like a strong connection to her kid. And us as parents, the last thing you're going to do when you are so concerned about the well-being of one of your children is to just take off and leave them. That's another thing that doesn't make sense.
It's completely out of character.
Completely out of character. And there's all of this discourse, and we are still seeing it even after we put out all of the factual information. We still get so many arguments about this. This idea that Melissa was excommunicated from her family, that they had no relationship, it's just not true. She talked to her sister weekly, if not every other week. She had a very close relationship with her parents. They were there when Sierra was born. They babysat Sierra as a child. Whenever Mark and Melissa would go on hunting trips, they would keep her for the weekend. They took her to school. They picked her up from school. They took her to doctor's appointments and like took her to get her nails done before she had a car and all of these other things. It wasn't until Sierra had a license and could do more of these things for herself that they weren't as involved, which is totally normal in a situation like that because they're just not needed as much. But they came to her graduation at the beginning of June. They came to her graduation party on June 21st, 5 days before Melissa went missing. The whole family did. Her brother and her sister, both of her parents, Jasmine, other extended family members from Melissa's side of the family were there in support of Sierra. Why would they go through all of the effort to be there if they did not have a relationship?
Yeah, it's really strange. Again, just the hoops people try to jump through. There was something that I saw where it was like, as soon as I heard that Melissa's parents were Jehovah's Witnesses, I immediately was like, I can't take them seriously now. This discredits them and totally paints them in a different picture for me, blah, 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 blah. Just very weird. And then there were all these other people commenting like, yeah, me too, me too. And I'm like, what are y'all talking about? Since when do people who know anything about true crime hear one thing and think, well, that's it, case closed. And like, this has nothing to do with Melissa. People are just focusing on the wrong thing over and over, and there's nothing to support it. It's so frustrating.
No, there's not. And to add to that, when we spoke with Trudy, Melissa's sister, she talked about that, about how when it was revealed by certain media outlets that there were Jehovah's Witnesses in their family, she was devastated because she knew that people were going to look at them differently because that information got put out there. And her parents were so distraught about this, like so distraught that her mom, Melissa's mom, started looking for all of her old phones and electronics to find all of the pictures that she had taken over time of like all of the things that they had done together over the years and all of their memories. And it's not about religion, but I do want to point out, and this is not something we included in our coverage because it doesn't change anything, but they're not their family is just like anybody else's family. They have multiple different religious views throughout the different generations. And so to sit there and lump them all in into one group is completely unfair as well. They're just like any other family.
It's almost like the human nature is complex, and then there's more things to people than just a label. So as far as Melissa's relationship, like you said, she's obviously really close with her daughter. Can you tell everybody a little bit about her relationship with her husband?
It's hard because obviously we haven't talked to Mark, because I'm not going to lie, we have our feelings about it. He was known to be very outspoken and kind of controlling. Like, he controlled the conversation. He was known to kind of be domineering in social settings. And we heard it time and time again that as soon as he and Melissa started dating, she changed dramatically. She was a very bubbly, happy, outgoing person. And once she started dating Mark, and whenever she was around him, she was not that person anymore. She would keep her head down. She would only really talk when it was required if he was around. And he kind of just took over those social settings. One of the biggest things that I remember was a story that Trudy shared about one of their mutual friends. This group of them went swimming one day. And Melissa, who had on a very conservative one-piece swimsuit, went to undress to go swimming. And Mark lost it, screamed at her for wearing a swimsuit in front of other men, and made her cover up, even though, according to this friend, there were other women there wearing much less than Melissa was. But Mark is screaming at her for wearing a conservative one-piece swimsuit to go swimming. It's just, that was his nature.
Wow.
None of the stories we heard about their relationship were positive. And I do want to point out that the day before she went missing, June 25th, was their 20th wedding anniversary.
Interesting.
Yeah. Coincidental? I don't think so. We can't prove this. I don't have pictures to prove it, but we've heard from multiple witnesses that they would run into Melissa at grocery stores or out in public in other places. She would have black eyes. She wore large sunglasses a lot, like pretty much all the time. And it was a pretty common occurrence. Mm. And when questioned, she would just be like, I'm fine, I'll be fine. And that was it.
Which is common. I say this as a domestic violence survivor, because if you say something's wrong, or at least this was my thought process, if you say something's wrong, then it could put you at greater risk, because then that person could confront your abuser, and then your abuser could attack you. I can't believe you told people, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So it's often out of self-preservation.
And I think that's really important that you brought that up, because a lot of the things that we were seeing once Melissa's sister and that side of the family started being more outspoken about the information that they had, there was a lot of pushback. I hate saying from the other side, but that's what it is, from Mark's daughters from his first marriage and other members of that side of the family, basically saying there was no way Melissa was in an abusive relationship because she was too strong of a woman to deal with that, to put up with that. And she was always smiling and happy and laughing, and she never said anything to anybody about it. So obviously it can't be true, which is not how those situations work at all. Like, anybody that has any familiarity with domestic violence and the signs and how a person in that situation acts knows that that's not true.
No, it really can happen to anyone. That's just such an oversimplification, for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, so was there anything significant in the initial investigation with Melissa that came up? Any theories that they were thinking of, any other evidence that was found that you feel like we haven't really talked about?
No, it's just, I mean, we've talked about it. The beginning of the investigation was impeded significantly with Mark's behavior towards it. He didn't want anybody looking for her, constantly saying, oh, she ran off on her own. She's out with a boyfriend. She'll be back tonight. And he goes and changes the locks on the house and puts up security cameras.
Mm. Yeah, there's that. So within 3 days of her disappearance, he changed all the locks on the house and installed security cameras. to look into the front yard. And in recorded phone conversations with Trudy, he basically said, that way she can't get back into the house without anybody knowing. Something about this being her last chance. I'm sorry, if your wife is missing and by some miracle, she comes back home, wouldn't you want her to be able to return home in the easiest way possible? Like, why would you want to lock her out and then make statements about it being her last chance?
And then that really strange Facebook post he
made a lot of really bizarre Facebook posts that were made to seem like love letters, but they're honestly very cryptic. And the police even questioned him about it. And when they questioned him, he said, it's like some secret language that only Melissa would understand. And they were just like, okay, cool, sounds great. And that was it. They never bothered to look into it again. And he only posted, I think, about the first month or two after she went missing. And then he never said anything else about it again.
It's like, at the very least, there needs to be a proper investigation done into every lead. And that hasn't even, like, the minimum hasn't even been done for Melissa.
No. And not to mention, I think it's important to note that they had a lot of guns. Like, they were hunters, avid hunters. They had a lot of guns. They have a lot of bows. And the night she went missing, Melissa's mom asked if all the guns were accounted for, if Melissa's gun was there. And Mark's response was to say, Melissa's not allowed to have a gun. She doesn't know how to shoot. She didn't have a gun. But she did have a gun. She had a gun that multiple people have said she carried in a holster on her person pretty much at all times. And that gun was not in the house. And New Mexico State Police did not do a thorough investigation into whether the guns were there or not. Mark just said they were there. And so, okay, they were there. And that was it. That's all that was done.
Yeah, unbelievable, truly. There's so many stories like this where time and time again, it's like the people who are supposed to be doing the due diligence, they don't. And then it falls on the loved ones to try to do anything. And they're not trained, they're not professionals, and they're grieving. I can't imagine. As far as what we know now, can we talk about finding Melissa and like where we're kind of at with that? I know, I'm sure there's things y'all can't talk about.
So there is a little bit of confusion around this as well, because it was announced that on May 13th, there was a body found in an area called Rio Chiquito, which is off of 518, kind of in that general area where Melissa's house was and where she was maybe last seen. And the person who found this body is a man by the name of Ray Cortez, who is also a very big player in Melissa's case. So Ray Cortez and Mark, they were very close friends. And we didn't include this in the episodes because we didn't have enough information to back it up yet. But Amber, I think we were going to put this out anyway. There's a witness that came forward that the day Melissa disappeared, this witness was with Ray in his truck, and Mark called Ray, and on speakerphone, Mark said, I heard her and I don't know what to do. Ray then took it off of speakerphone, finished the conversation, turned to the witness and said, you're the only other person that heard this. If this gets out, I know who said it. This has been given to New Mexico State Police. He has been questioned multiple times, which is why I feel comfortable saying it. The witness is a young person who has since been threatened by the family to speak on this. And this was information that had been known for quite some time. And people are like, well, why didn't anybody ever say anything about this before now? Well, when you are very young and you hear something like this and then you are threatened,
right,
you're not going to share this information.
No, of course not.
So Ray is the person who found this body on May 13th. This body was not Melissa. It was actually somebody who had gotten super, super hammered with some friends the night before and like wandered off into the forest and like passed out or something. And Ray called it in. He was like, I found a body. Well, then the dude started moving. It's like he just passed out in the woods. But there's been a lot of confusion because people think this was Melissa that was found weeks prior, but it wasn't. That was somebody completely different. And so it's also been said, well, Ray Cortez found Melissa. He didn't. He found some drunk dude that passed out in the woods on May 13th. Still doesn't make him any less suspicious because of what I just told you,
right,
and some other information that we know that we've kind of got to suss out a little bit more before we share. But he is a player in all of this. But it said that on May 28th, a hiker found a body in McGaffey Park. A hiker found a body off of 518 up on a ridge in an area that's really, really hard to get to, that had not been searched, or at least not by search dogs or anything super thorough like that. And on the 30th, so that Saturday night, while we were all in Vegas at CrimeCon, we get a call telling us that this person was Melissa. So it was just over 11 months since she disappeared and she was found. What we do know is there was a gun next to her. We don't know what this gun was. They're doing like the trace testing on it to determine who owned it. There's been a lot of information put out there that there were two sets of fingerprints on it, that she had a gunshot wound to the head.
Yeah,
None of those things have been verified.
I saw that literally today, that she had a single gunshot wound to the head. There's so much misinformation and it's so scary. So, okay, we just know that it was Melissa, that a gun was found next to her.
The family has requested every single test you can possibly request. So, and those things take time. And they haven't, as far as I know, and we talk to them pretty frequently, they haven't been given any new updates or final information on cause of death, other information about the state of her, or anything like that.
Do we know how they confirmed that it was Melissa?
They had her dental records.
Okay.
And I mean, I guess I do feel comfortable saying she was what they called skeletonized.
Mm-hmm.
She had been in the elements for a long time. The interesting, questionable part about it is there are bears, there are mountain lions, there are other large wild animals in this area that, as morbid as it is to say, would have probably torn a body apart at some point or another in those 11 months. So it's very interesting that she was still whole. And there is some questions around whether or not she was actually there the whole time or not.
Okay. Yeah. And see, this is one of those things where it's like, okay, there's sometimes some truth to these things that people are saying online. Because like one of the things that I came across was that this was an area that had been searched, but you just said it has not been searched. But like with that, what I'm saying is, it's like, if they were saying like, well, if they already searched there, then clearly someone put her there later, was basically what this person was saying. And that's possible, it sounds like, or that she was in a different location, had been deceased for some time and then moved over there.
And I do want to say, I think there was some confusion around whether that area was searched or not. That the area in general was searched. The ridge where she was found is very, very hard to get to. Like, we've talked to people that walked up there to where she was, and it's hard. Like, it was hard for seasoned hikers to get up to this spot. So the general area could have been searched. I don't know up in the ridge that high specifically was searched, you know, because it is so hard to get to. It only would really make sense if you got up there like on horseback or a mule.
That makes sense.
Or something like that.
There were also people saying that it was for sure her gun that was found next to her, which has not been confirmed.
It hasn't been confirmed. I think, I don't know that I have anything that I can say that's verifiable right now about that. Mm-hmm. I do think it's interesting that she was found with a gun, considering Mark was very adamant that she didn't own a gun and she couldn't have a gun, which there was nothing in her history that would have made it so she could not have owned a gun.
Right. And also, like, what does he mean? Because she was an avid hunter.
And she was a better, according to Melissa's father, she was a better shot than Mark. which I thought was funny. But yeah, I'm sure
she was.
Yeah. It's like, and they had a hunting, they have a YouTube channel where they, like, you can see her, like, shooting weapons, like, showing off her skills. Like, she was a great shot. Like, it's just, it's a load of crap. But either way, it hasn't been determined whether the gun is hers or not. That's what they're doing testing on. It's also, like we said, it's not confirmed that she had a bullet wound. So it's very easy to say that considering there was a gun found next to her, but it doesn't make it true.
Right.
And we don't know that for a fact.
Yeah.
Also, one of the things that came out that we did not include in the original coverage, and Amber, I think we said this in the statements we've made online. So about the scream.
Oh, yeah. No, I have. So whenever you were looking at me funny a minute ago, I was actually pulling up those cards with the text of stuff that we had some updates on. And that, yeah, that's on there.
There's a neighbor that lives two doors down from Mark and Melissa that have security cameras. The cops never asked them to look at their security cameras, by the way. But their son was staying at the house. They were on vacation, but their son was there at the house that day. And around 1:45, I'm going to say between 1:30 and 1:45, he heard a woman screaming very loudly. And they constantly heard fighting and screaming coming from that house. Constantly. It was known. Like, all of the neighbors were like, oh, yeah, we heard them fighting all the time. But that day, somewhere around that 1:30 to 2 o'clock time period, he heard a woman screaming. She was seen coming home from taking Sierra lunch on the neighbor's security cameras at 1:20. She was never seen leaving the house. She is not on security camera leaving the house. So I don't know how she ended up on a camera on 5:18, 40 minutes later, when she wasn't seen leaving the house. But they're screaming and nobody heard a gunshot. And in the days leading up to her disappearance, Mark had been going around to the neighbors' houses asking if they had security cameras. Why?
Wow.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Haley Bailey. Okay, I need to tell you about something. I just got YouTube Premium. It's got tons of awesome features like offline downloads so I can download my favorite videos before I travel and watch them whenever I don't have Wi-Fi. Because we all know airplane Wi-Fi is the worst. I get ad-free, I get background play, and there's like a ton more in there. You should try it. If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Try it now for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium.
If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Yeah, I knew that there were going to be things that when people listen to this, if you're familiar with Melissa Casillas, there's going to be things that you have probably never heard before. And it's clear that there's a lot. It's just, it's one of those cases, I feel like, where the deeper you get into it, the more upsetting it's going to be, because it's just such an injustice, I feel like. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about it because I don't believe that these scientists have anything to do with Melissa. That's my opinion. But I do think that it's good to clear some things up with that. I don't know how much you guys have looked into these people, but do you have any thoughts on the missing scientists and people trying to connect her in those cases?
I don't know much about it. I know that, well, my mom actually told me that there's been this trend of scientists missing for years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just like recently. Yeah, there've been a few recently, but it's been ongoing for years. But also, are you thinking you hear horse beats and you think zebra instead of horse kind of thing? Like, because, yeah, like as Gina had mentioned before, she So Melissa did have security clearance at Los Alamos, but she was an administrator. She didn't have the higher clearance that the scientists and everybody do. People try to say, well, she still had, you know, a security clearance. She may have known something that she shouldn't have known. An administrator of her caliber is not going to have pertinent information that other scientists would, quote, get conspiracy theoried about. So.
Well, and I feel like I can say this because I'm not going to say their name, but I literally know a guy who is a scientist at Los Alamos. And I clarified that with him too. It's like, as an administrator, would she even be able to have that level of clearance as like you guys would? And he was like, absolutely not. So I've seen a lot about that as well.
I just think it's, she worked at Los Alamos, and so she's automatically a scientist that goes missing because it's the easiest explanation.
Mm. And there was a story a while back that I heard a different podcast cover. I believe her name is Karen Silkwood. This was years ago, but she was killed under very, very suspicious circumstances. And there was a lot of evidence to point to the possibility that there was some type of like government cover-up involvement. So I'm not saying that because there's smoke, there's not fire, and that there could be with these people, at least these other scientists, some type of like connection. And I really do understand why people are trying to find those connections, because I do think that there's something there that we need to figure out with these scientists for sure. But I just feel like there's not an obvious link in Melissa's case. And because people are just seeing like, oh, well, she worked this place, therefore, blah, blah, blah. And they're coming to this conclusion.
And unfortunately, the larger news outlets are reporting this. And they're including her in these lists. And they're putting her picture in these collages about these missing scientists. And it's like, no, you're giving people the complete wrong idea. And that's another thing that has really frustrated her family, is because they constantly have news media coming to them, asking them for live interviews or recorded interviews or whatever it is. But they know that they're just going to twist it, and they want her to be part of this bigger missing scientist story. And that's not what this is. And that's not what she deserves. Like, she deserves to have the respect that her case needs, because she's not part of a conspiracy. It's really frustrating and it's sad. And of course, like, I think we as humans want to find the easiest explanation. And so to say that all of these people who worked in a similar place and had similar jobs must have been taken out or something because of what they knew is the easiest thing to say, instead of looking at it deeper and being like, okay, well, what was their mental health like? What else was going on in their personal lives? What are the other circumstances that we should be considering about why this person may have gone missing or died or took their own lives, instead of just saying, oh, well, it's because they knew something they weren't supposed to know?
Well, and I'm sorry, if this is the police department that we're dealing with, I'm curious how much investigation was actually done in these other cases. I wouldn't be surprised if there hasn't been a lot of investigation.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Anything else you guys want to touch on? I'm trying to think of like all of these rumors that I have heard, and I'm trying to get clarification for everybody and just shut shit down because I'm so over it. I know there was that PI thing we talked about, Gina. I don't know if you want to touch on that at all.
Well, I think it's interesting because all of these news articles have been coming out in the last couple days about this, but it's old news. So the PI that the family hired, he is one of the most interesting humans we've ever met. And we owe it to him that we're even involved in this and have created the relationship with the family that we have.
And sorry, just for clarification really quick. So you're saying this is the PI that Melissa's family, like her side of the family, hired,
yes,
not Mark's side? Okay.
Mark's side hasn't hired a PI.
Yeah.
I don't think Mark's side has really done much of anything except argue with people online, to be honest. But yes, Melissa's parents hired a PI earlier this year because they were getting no traction. The New Mexico State Police wasn't doing their job, and so they wanted to bring in some outside help. So they hired this PI, and I honestly don't think, and Amber, tell me if I'm wrong, I do not think that Melissa's body would have been found if not for him riling up the public the way he did.
So people have a problem with how he speaks, addresses people, but I'm sorry, he's getting the results. He's saying the things that nobody wants to hear. He's being loud so people are forced to listen. And yeah, he's gotten the results. I don't think that we would have come near as far without his assistance. And there are a lot of people that do support that online that I have seen, you know, thanking him for all of his work. And, you know, he's handling it in, if he was just quietly behind the scenes with all that we've already talked about, the New Mexico State Police and their reluctance, and they're just kind of deferring to Mark for everything. I still don't think that it's just because he's loud, bold, in your face, he's getting the results.
But the issue is, Mark filed a restraining order against him because the PI accused him of murder and was harassing him and his daughters. What he was trying to do was get a response, and that's exactly what it did. He never contacted Mark. He never contacted any of Mark's daughters. Mark's daughters reached out to the PI multiple times, harassing him, trying to give him stories with nothing to back it up when he asked, and he gave them plenty of chances to do so. So there's no leg to stand on. Mark is mad because he's in the hot seat now, and the PI hasn't even been served the papers.
The timing of it is weird. Yeah, I don't understand why this has become such a big thing online as of a few days ago. But yeah, for people who don't know, there's a lot of articles right now circulating that Mark is being harassed by this private investigator. And there's a lot of, I guess, sympathy that's being built up towards Mark. I don't really know how else to word it. And it's just very strange. I don't really know what to make of it. I feel like the timing of things has been really strange with like these articles being released combined with like when she was found. I don't know.
And he was served. Mark filed this restraining order against the PI before Melissa was found. It's just coming out now for some reason. And another thing about Mark, while all of these people are trying to find out information about where Melissa could possibly be, Mark was spewing to anyone and everyone that he could that she left with a boyfriend. She was in Colorado. She was in Washington State. She was in Arizona. She was in Texas. She was in Alaska. She was in Hawaii. And it created a lot of apathy. And within a month of her disappearing, Melissa's sister and niece and parents come back to town, to Taos, to hang up more missing person flyers and talk to people. And people were already asking them, why are you still looking for her? She's fine. She left with her boyfriend. Because this is the narrative that Mark, her husband of 20 years, is spewing.
Again, I'm not going to say who it is, but I did get a message from someone who knows Mark, knew Melissa, was friends with them. And even they were of the suspicion. They were like, yeah, I really feel like Melissa left on her own volition.
So some of the stuff that like really backs up that story is we did cover in the three-part series that we've released that Melissa was planning on leaving Mark. She had been talking to Trudy, her sister, about it. Trudy was helping her looking at apartments in Albuquerque in like a good part whenever she could figure out what her budget was. And there was a storage unit that Melissa had. Wasn't in her name, but it was in her dad's name. So there's, you know, these little things like she's already making in plans put into motion to leave Mark. But that's not how it played out. If she was genuinely leaving Mark, she already had all this going. Why didn't she take that route? Why did she just wipe her personal phone with all of the memories of her daughter? Baby photos, videos. I mean, as a mom, I can't even begin to fathom wiping out my phone and not having those memories ever again. Why would she do that? Why would she? It just...
Amber, to your point, yeah, she was looking at apartments in Albuquerque to live with Sierra. They were looking for two bedroom apartments because Sierra had just graduated from high school. She was going to go to esthetician college and they were going to live together in Albuquerque. So she was going to leave him. And she had told friends that before, that she was, that was the plan. She was going to go live with Sierra somewhere else after she graduated from high school. And she had applied for a job. And I think this is where the Washington State thing comes in. She had applied for a job with a LANL contractor that was based out of Seattle. They tried to call her after she went missing to tell her she got the job. So Mark is like, she took this new job. She went to Washington State. The job was remote. She would have still been working at Los Alamos in New Mexico, or she could have been working remote from their home in Albuquerque. It was not a job where she would have up and left and moved to another state.
Well, and it sounds like she didn't even know that she had gotten the job. Right. I had another thought and then it just left my brain. So
if you think of it.
Relatable.
I remember. So what I was going to say is, because so many people think that Melissa left on her own volition, two things could be true. She could have had plans to leave, but she may have not had plans to leave that day. And you can see that in the way that things have played out.
Yeah, if she had planned to leave that day, if it was moving day, why would she have gotten up, driven to work, driven back home, taken her daughter lunch, run all these other errands or whatever? Mm-hmm. And it's not like she was packed up. Like, if you look at pictures of the house, there are boxes full of clothes that are on hangers and everything else. Like, maybe she was working on it, but she hadn't left yet, and she hadn't put a deposit down on a place yet, nothing.
Well, and if she was allegedly a victim of domestic violence, we know that the most dangerous time is when those victims try to leave that situation. So I feel like that's another thing that needs to be looked into. Maybe allegedly he found out that she was trying to leave and get, I mean, you know, fill in the blanks from there of what would have happened to her. But it wouldn't surprise me if she was trying to get a life together. And I'm sure she had to be very careful about it because she deeply cares about Sierra and she needs to make sure that it's done delicately and in a way that she can be there for her as well and look out for her own safety. Those things do take a lot of planning and they very often have to be like you have to get the help of someone else to do it. It's a very unfortunate case. And I feel like so many people are talking about it, but in my opinion, they're not talking about the right things. And I'm not saying that it's intentional. I think the vast majority of people that are talking about Melissa, they just don't have the right information. And again, I'm not going to say names, but there are some very big podcasts that are talking about Melissa and they're doing it in a way that is very frustrating. And it's clear to me that they're not getting the right information from the right people. I don't know how many people are going to listen to this, but I just feel like if there's any way to help get the information out there from people that are working directly with the families with accurate information, then I want to try to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we appreciate you for it. And the family does too. They knew that we were going to talk to you and they were like, yes, please help us spread more awareness about the accurate information around Melissa's story. So we appreciate you having us on so we can share more about her and the things that we do know to be true.
Of course. Yeah. Anything, no matter how small I can do to help, I'll continue to do. And is there anything that you guys would recommend that the people listening to this would do as well?
The biggest thing I can say is, and this isn't true for just Melissa's, but really any case that you're learning about or looking into, make sure you're getting it from ethical sources and don't believe everything you read. That's why we make sure to say over and over and over again, anything that we are sharing about Melissa's case has been verified a million times over by the family, from police records, from recordings, from witness statements, from factual pieces of content. And that's really like the only thing we can do to make sure the most clear-cut information is getting out there, because we can't control what anybody else does or says. All we can do is do our best and our due diligence to make sure at least part of the universe is hearing the right thing. But I mean, if you are interested in hearing more about Melissa's case from a factual standpoint, feel free to come check out our 3-part series on her case on our feed at Weird True Crime. And we are going to be continuing to update it as we get more verified information that we can share and that the family has approved of us sharing, because we're not going to put anything out there that they're not comfortable with us saying.
And that's how it should be. Well, I really appreciate you guys coming on and educating my listeners about Melissa Casillas. And I hope everyone enjoyed today's episode. If you did, be sure to check out Gina and Amber at Weird True Crime. They do a great job and you'll get a lot more detailed information over there as well as updates. and just engage in any way that you guys can. It really does help so much, and it will help get the right information out to hopefully more people. So that's always appreciated. You all are amazing. I hope you have a great week. Please stay safe, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.
Perplexity, a mystery podcast, is hosted, written, and produced by me, Kadra Brannon. This show is proud to be a part of the Black Cat Network. Assistant editor is Charlie Leopold. Theme song by Patrick Thompson. All music used in this episode is from Pixabay. If you like the show, be sure to share it with others and leave a 5-star rating and review. Contact, support, and merch links can be found in the episode description. To unlock early ad-free episodes and exclusive bonus content, join the Perplexed Society at patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. Listener stories, topic requests, and business inquiries can be submitted to perplexitymysterypodcast.com or emailed to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. Until next week, stay curious.
Those memories ever again. Why would she do that? Why would she? It just, yes, she possibly, you know, like I said, my brain's shutting down. Excuse me. Oh my God, give me a second. No, it's so much worse. When Gina and I were recording together, like the amount of expletives that I spew out when my brain, like all of a sudden, just like it operates for a minute and then just breaks hard, like what runs into a wall or something. And this is what happens. This is why I'm the funnier one of the two of us. This is why I do the other series and Gina does the more serious crap.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.